Is it my imagination, or do I hear a voice in the Twitter wilderness? Kind of John the Baptist-like, even though he doesn't, I would say, wear sackcloth and sandals. And I would wager that he doesn't live on honey and locusts. But when he tweets, people take note. And it can only be the return of one Sean Defoe. Good afternoon, Sean.
Rumors of the death of Twitter Thursday have been greatly, greatly exaggerated, Ollie Carroll. How are you?
I love those
intros. They were missing from my weeks, and my weeks were more dull for it.
Not to mention we spent a fortune on those trumpets. You know, we are on a budget here.
Just as you got the brass band in, I have to justify it. I have to make up the money.
I tell you. Well, listen, great to hear you. And listen, down to business straight away. You know, a bit like yourself, not quite as long, but after 40 years, ABBA is back with a new album and stage show featuring digital versions of themselves from 1979 and the Swedish pop group, of course, also. Some people say risking perhaps their most valuable asset, its legacy. And the new album is out this coming Friday, isn't it? Friday, yeah.
New ABBA. Which is the biggest comeback? Twitter Thursday or ABBA? You know, it's a very fine line that we have
it's
to get
debatable.
I have such mixed feelings about this. And even in the songs that have been out already, that one, Don't Shut Me Down, that's been out for kind of a month or 2 months now, I just thought that was really good. And I was like,
catchy.
Oh, that's kind of classic ABBA. Yeah, you know, catchy, you kind of like it. And then they released another one, I've already forgotten the name of it because I listened to it. It just sounded like sort of boring 70s, you know, something you'd hear in an elevator. So it's really potentially hit and miss this. And this, they're saying this is going to be it, right? This is their latest and final album and no more music. And interestingly, I was reading up about it. Apparently, the list of unreleased ABBA songs is almost as long as the list of released ABBA songs. They had a load of stuff in the background, as I suppose a lot of artists do,
indeed,
that they never got out and never put out. So it'd be interesting to see how much of this is that stuff is the kind of old and is very much catering to, you know, the 80s and 70s and all the time of ABBA. And sounds like it belongs to that time, or will they try and do anything a little bit new, something for the 21st century and the 2020s and Gen Z and all that sort of stuff? But I just think the idea as well of a holographic tour is amazing, isn't it? Imagine even thinking of that when they were in their heyday.
On that very score, we got a little bit of audio here talking about that very fact. Now, keep in mind, it's George Lucas's company, as in Star Wars, that's behind the provision of all of this. Yeah, but just have a little listen to this.
Agneta, Frida, Benny and Bjorn got on a stage in front of 160 cameras and almost as many VFX geniuses. And they performed every song in this show to perfection over 5 weeks, capturing every mannerism, every emotion, the soul of their beings. So that becomes the great magic of this endeavor, that when you see this show, it is not a version of, or a copy of, or for people pretending to be ABBA, it is actually them.
Ah, but it is a bit digital, really.
It is a bit, and you've kind of nervous me with George Lucas. I'm just thinking of, like, the prequel Star Wars movies now, and some of that CGI was very, very dodgy. I know it was the early 2000s, it was very dodgy. We could see all sorts of things, Jar Jar Binks in ABBA and all that kind of crap. I don't know how I feel, though, about a virtual tour, because on one hand, how cool would it be to go and see ABBA? What kind of an atmosphere would you have? They're just, like, they're so beloved. I think you'd have so many people from across different age groups as
absolutely.
Well. A lot of young people who love ABBA.
Yeah,
because,
sure.
Frankly, our parents made us listen to it on tapes in the car. I know my mum was probably listening. Indeed, we were driving around Tramore in the Fiat Punto with a tape of ABBA on loop, so I got into them. Like, if you're having a fully digital show, you don't have that interaction. If the crowd is going wild or something, the show is just going to go on because it's a pre-recorded tape. So I'm not sure how good it would actually be in person.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And just a very quick fact, ABBA the movie is the UK's biggest selling DVD ever. Ever.
Ever.
Ever.
Wow.
I didn't know that up to today, but apparently that is statistically true. So there you go. But anyway, we have a couple of things to talk about. What about Elon Musk? UN official basically said 2% of Elon Musk's wealth would help save 42 million starving people. And Elon himself took to Twitter to suggest he'd give the money if the UN World Food Programme could describe exactly how the $6 billion they were looking for would solve world hunger. So he was willing to sell that amount of Tesla shares.
Yeah, this is strange. I find this whole thing very strange. Like, firstly, it's just the idea that someone can come out and say, oh yeah, I'll give you 2% of my wealth over Twitter, but, you know, prove it first. Prove how, in one sense, why should you need to prove how 6 billion could solve world hunger? Of course, 6 billion euro dedicated in the right channels is going to
absolutely
improve the situation of world hunger. There's just no doubt about that. I think then he got into a few things, kind of having a go at some UN officials and later tweets and some suspect thing. So I don't think it will ever actually happen. You know, he has donated fairly significant amounts, you would have to say. He gave away €150 million earlier this year, including €100 million of it towards a carbon removal contest. But when you take in that $6 billion is just 2% of his actual net worth, that's a small drop in the ocean.
Oh,
isn't
it's
it?
Just
so
mad.
It'll be interesting to see, because the fellow who was saying this, the scientist who was saying that this could actually happen, that it would go a long way, then responded to him and said, name the place, I'll get on a plane right now and you can throw me out of your building if you think I'm talking nonsense, give me the chance. So you'd like to think something would come of it, but the cynic in me says it won't.
Going to be interesting to see. Somebody made a great point on Twitter during the week that if he even only bought a part of the Amazon rainforest and said, hands off, it's never been felled, wouldn't it be a great contribution to humanity?
Well, there's not much you could do with that kind of money. Think of what you could do with $6 billion, and like our own climate plan is being launched in about 20 minutes' time. I'm heading over to it now shortly. What the government and what everyone else could do with €6 billion, when you think it is going to take €125 billion to get Ireland, or thereabouts, to get Ireland to reduce half of its emissions. Like, when we get into the billions, we're still talking of a drop from the ocean, but each step would obviously be huge.
Absolutely that. Sean, we're almost running out of time, but just to end on a good news story, what did you make of that story in Australia, that little girl being found after 20-plus days of missing?
Absolutely remarkable. Cleo Smith's found safe and well after 2 weeks, and there's been a man arrested now and he's in custody over the disappearance. But you never hear of these things ending happily. We all saw the news reported, and you think the worst straight away, that they're gone. You think of another Madeleine McCann sort of a situation. But to see her there with the thumbs up and her ice pop in the hospital bed, you know, happy out afterwards, it's absolutely amazing. And in a week of bad news and the world is going to end and the climate is falling in, we'll hold on to that little nugget.
We actually have a little clip. It's a little 30-second clip of the police officers, just basically their first words with her here, but have a little listen.
My name's Cameron, how are you? Are you okay? We're going to take you to see your mummy and daddy, okay?
It could have been any one of the team that were here. It just turned out that I was one of four guys that were fortunate enough to go through that door and make that rescue. We had always hoped for that outcome, but still, you just were not prepared for it. So, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. And originally, it was, to see her sitting there and in the way that she was, it was just incredible.
Yeah, that was Detective Sergeant Cameron Western, and they obviously visibly taken aback by it and emotionally invested in it all. So, as you say, great to end on a happy note, Sean.
Yeah, I can hear the Netflix series already being written as we speak. It's just perfectly teed itself up to that kind of drama, doesn't it?
For sure, yeah, but in a good sort of ways as you. Well, now, Sean, delighted to have you back. Thank you so much for taking the call today, and best of luck on your travel.
We're back, Ollie.
We're back.
We are back. Twitter Thursday lives. Talk to you soon.
Back with a bang. Bye-bye.